We could have just as well had Ash Wednesday, but we had to make a call earlier in the day when it was blowing like crazy and it was not nice, and so we just said, well, we will not meet for Ash Wednesday. Somebody did ask me, so are we doing Ash Wednesday tonight? No, I said we move on to first night of Lent. So glad that you are here. Any announcements that need to be made tonight? I don't have any. But the plan is tonight is that we'll sing two songs. Melissa is here to do the first song when we get to that point. I will then read a little bit of scripture from Isaiah and then go to the message. Following the message, I'm not sure how we're going to end this, but there'll be one more song sometimes after the message. I'm not sure where that is, but we will have the Lord's Prayer at the end, and I'll close in prayer. And then the confirmation kids, the second-year confirmation kids, can get their can of pop and their Reese's. We're going to meet in my office, I think, right after we're done here, and just want to go over your handouts that I've given to you as well. And so we're going to start our journey with Jesus going to the cross. And so we're going to go at different places. Tonight, the first place is going to be called the road. See how much you know about the road to the cross. Did everyone get a handout back there? Everybody's got one? I just want to make sure you got one. Okay, great. Well, let's have a word of prayer together, and we'll start our time this evening. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that is here tonight, and Lord, we thank you most of all for those that brought food tonight, that there was food to eat and that there was the kids that helped serve tonight. Has been a real blessing to all of us. Thank you for the fellowship that has taken place already this evening. And now, Lord, help us to focus on why we are here tonight as we think of Lent. Help us to see what Jesus went through for each and every one of us. If we don't have that focus, then it's just another thing we just do during the week. But Lord, what we do here, what we want to accomplish here in the weeks ahead, is that we will look forward to Easter. And we'll be so glad when Easter gets here, because it'll be a day of celebration versus tonight. It's usually kind of more of a somber time and kind of a gloomy time, but at the same time, it's still good to hear the things what we're going to hear about Jesus, what he did for us. So be with us tonight. Thank you for everyone that is here. May you use this time in a powerful way this evening and in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take your little flyer here, the first song we're going to sing tonight together is Open Our Eyes, Lord. And I do know this one. I'm not sure about this last one, though. Say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, us to live. see Jesus. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3 only for tonight. Isaiah in the Old Testament says this: Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. In the New Testament, we jump to, is where we begin with our journey to the cross tonight, or in the weeks ahead. It comes to us from Matthew chapter 21, verses 7 through 11. I'd like to read that, as this is our springboard that we jump off of here tonight in what comes in the message as well. Matthew 21, verses 7 through 11. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on him, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet, from Nazareth in Galilee." So we start on the road. You kind of get a little familiar with it. Some of you are kind of knowing that what's going to happen here. The road is going to lead us where? Okay, Jerusalem. I heard Jerusalem out there. That's where it's going to lead us. We come down from the Mount of Olives. It goes down across the Kidron Valley, and it goes up the hill into the city of Jerusalem. And this is kind of what we call is the triumphant entry of Jesus. So this is how it begins. The week of Passion that we find ourselves going to be facing here before Easter. So we kind of call this Palm Sunday. This is really kind of a Palm Sunday message in a lot of ways. But this is where it starts, with Jesus as he goes toward the cross. So let me ask you this question. This is going to be for my confirmation kids here. Yeah, you better say, uh-oh. Why are all these people coming to Jerusalem at this time of the year? Have any idea? You have one lifeline. You can ask anybody here that you want.
Passover.
Yeah. It is the Passover. The Jews come to Jerusalem once a year to do the Passover. It's one of the greatest religious events that takes place. For us, we kind of look at what's the biggest time of the year? What's the biggest holiday of the year?
Christmas,
yeah. Passover is to the Jews a huge, huge deal. They're required to go to Jerusalem once a year if possible. There's three different feasts that they go to, but the Passover is the ultimate one. And we will learn more about that when Trevor, who comes, and we have a Passover meal that's coming here in April. And we'll kind of tie it in with all of this as we go along here. But there are thousands of people who are all coming from all different directions, coming to Jerusalem because of the Passover. The size of Jerusalem is kind of like being on Lake Okoboji in the summertime. There's thousands of people that seem to come on the weekends to be able to come and be a part of what happens in this area of Iowa. So the Feast of the Passover, the history of it goes way back into the Old Testament. To who? It goes way back how far? I just like putting you on the edge here. We go way back. The Passover goes way back when? Anybody? Yeah. It goes way back to Exodus, way back to Egypt, way back when Moses was living, and Moses went back to see Pharaoh to be able to say, let my people go. And Pharaoh said what? No. How many times did he say no? At least 9 times. No. But the 10th plague was the Passover. It was the death of the firstborn was the 10th plague, which we better know it as a Passover. It was then when they would take a lamb, and it couldn't be just any lamb. It had to be a certain kind of a lamb that had to be sacrificed at the Passover, and they would kill the lamb, and they would take the blood of the lamb. It could be a perfect lamb. It could not have had a broken bone. It could not have had any wool that was discolored. It had to be white. And it had to be 1 year old. And so they would kill that lamb, and they would take the blood of that lamb, and they were supposed to do what with the blood? Put it on the door frame, yeah, on the lintel, on the side of the door and on, over the top of the door. And when the death angel came and saw that the blood was applied to this house by the blood that was put on the door frame, it would pass over that home. No one would die that was in it. But if you did not have the blood, the firstborn would die. And it wasn't just for humans, it was also for livestock. The firstborn of livestock, I mean, who keeps track of that? Maybe Jack does. But you know, at that time, no one kept, they probably knew who was the firstborn, even in their flocks or in their herds, who knows? But it was the 10th plague when finally the Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of here. Take your people and get out of my country. I've had enough of you. Do you remember what the other plagues were? I'm not going to tell you what they are. Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Or were they frogs? Yeah, yeah. Those are only 2 of them. Turned the water into blood. Everything was bloody. You couldn't find a clean glass of water to drink. No place to go swimming because it was blood. It was, like, terrible. But then you had the frogs all over the place. That's only, like, 2 out of the 10, but you know, the last one, you know what that one is. So there's 7 more plagues. You'd have to read about that in the scriptures to find out what they are. One of them is gnats. Do you know what a gnat is? They are a little annoying bug. Tiny, black, and they bite. And then after they bite, you start to what? Yeah. Terrible. So, the Passover goes, that's part of the history. That's where it starts, way back in the Old Testament with Moses and Pharaoh. The road that goes into Jerusalem is what I mentioned before here tonight. It's like, this is really the triumphant entry of Jesus going into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey that all the Gospels talk about. Every one of the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about this event that takes place here. Now, keep this in mind that a lot of the people are following Jesus because why? They just saw him do a great miracle. What was that miracle and where? The play starts with a B. That's your hint. And don't say bingo. Huh? Bethany, yes. Who said Bethany? Sharon, you got to stop saying all these good answers. Okay. Yes, you got it. Bethany is just about like 2 miles from Jerusalem. It is a place where Jesus was very good friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus has just brought Lazarus back to life because he had died. Everybody knew he died. And he mentioned Lazarus' name, now come out. And when he came out, he was wrapped. He looked like a mummy. And he came out of there and they unwrapped him. Jesus said, you know, unbind him, take off what he's wrapped with. And they did that and Lazarus was alive. And Mary and Martha and everybody there were just celebrated. They couldn't believe what they had just seen. And so a lot of those people followed Jesus to Jerusalem. But there's also some people there seeing what took place. They were not very happy. They were the Pharisees, the religious rulers of their day. And they did not like it that Jesus had done this kind of a miracle and people were following him and starting to believe on what he was saying to them. And so Jesus then went to Jerusalem on the road that comes down off the Mount of Olives, like I said before, across the Kidron Valley up to the other side and goes into one of the gates on the wall of Jerusalem at that time that was open. It's believed it was called the East Gate. The East Gate is also referred to as the Golden Gate. It's on the east side of Jerusalem. It is now it's all filled in with bricks. It's a closed gate. But at this time when Jesus goes in, they believe he went through that gate. When the Muslims rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, they remembered that this gate is supposed to, the Messiah is supposed to come back and go through that gate. So what did they do? They blocked it. It's still blocked today. And they did one extra thing. They buried their people who died in front of that gate. There's tombstones. There's people buried there because they know that for a Jew, anything that was dead is going to make them unclean. And so this way it'll keep the Messiah from coming through that gate. Well, good luck. The Lord's still going to come through there when he comes back. Now, I said before that Jesus rode a donkey. Now, this goes back to the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, where he fulfills, Jesus is fulfilling this prophecy that the Messiah is going to come back and he's going to be riding on what? Don't you find it strange you'd ride a donkey? But what kind of a donkey? All the other gospel writers say that it was a colt, which would be a young donkey that had never been ridden before. Nothing had ever been on its back. And you have Jesus get on this donkey that has never been ridden before. Have you ever gotten on something that's never been ridden before? What happens? A car? I'm talking about a donkey. Not a bronco. A donkey. If you get on any animal that has never been ridden before, they're going to buck. They're not going to like you on their back. Jesus had no problem. The disciples put their cloaks on the back of this little donkey. Jesus sat on it. He rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, which means it is an animal that he brings peace. It's someone who brings peace to the people. He was not a political figure. The people wanted him to be the king over the Jews when he would come in, and that's why they're kind of celebrating. But Jesus came in as one who was going to be a spiritual leader, not a political leader. And so as he comes riding in on a donkey, it's not what you normally would see. If you were going to be a king, coming into a city that you just conquered, what would you be riding? More than likely. A big stallion, what color? Yeah. You'd be coming in on a big stallion, a big white horse, and you'd kind of be saying like, look at me, you know, we conquered you guys. But here comes Jesus riding a what? A donkey. A donkey. And what he finds as he's riding it is that there's people who are cheering and yelling. They're actually saying scripture, but they're also putting down their clothes, their cloaks, and with things that they're wearing, they're putting them on the road. You know, there's not a red carpet for Jesus to be riding on. It's just a bunch of clothes from the people who are there. There are some who went out and started cutting branches down. What kind of branches were they? You know, palm. So go act like Palm Sunday. What do we do here? We kind of raise palm branches, don't we? It reminds us of the triumphant entry as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, because the people do see him as a king. And he truly is a king. One of the things that the branches that are waving, people are waving, the palm branches, we look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It's interesting that you find there is people who are all dressed in white robes are holding palm branches. It means victory that you find even in the book of Revelation, the very last book. So many of the people there who are yelling out, crying out scripture by saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That comes from Psalm 118, verse 26. So they're quoting scripture as he's coming into the town. They're yelling this out, and they're shouting that the king is coming, and nothing like this has ever been done since King David, which is hundreds of years ago from the time that this takes place. People have never seen this, never heard this before. Other than the only time it's happened was King David. And everyone is jubilant, everyone is celebrating, except for the Pharisees don't like this. The religious leaders don't like this because they're seeing that the people are following somebody who's not like them. They're the religious guys. How come they're not following the religious guys? But they're following this common, ordinary guy named Jesus. The Pharisees also tell Jesus, stop all this commotion. Stop all this celebration, all this jubilation. Knock it off. What are the Romans going to think when they see and hear all this commotion that's taking place? If there's a new king that the people are saying is coming into town, that is enough to cause some real problems for Jerusalem and to the Romans. They will do something about it. But we find that in the gospel writers, from the writer's standpoint, that they're writing, is that the Pharisees, they were jealous and they felt threatened by what they were seeing and what they were hearing from the people. They were all going to believe in Jesus. There were some Jews that were converting and believing in Jesus Christ, but they were not listening to the Pharisees or to the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day. And so it is then and there, with all this taking place, that the plot to kill Lazarus and to kill Jesus begins. That's how they started thinking about ending him, getting rid of him. And they also wanted to get rid of Lazarus, because there are people who came to believe and follow Jesus Christ. So they didn't like this. They were putting their faith in Jesus Christ, and they saw that people were responding to Jesus that they did not like that. And so therefore, you would think they would kind of like, what's going on here? There's maybe something here we're missing that we're not seeing. But they went to the side of hating everything about Jesus and what he has done. What we find here, that we'll see later on, is that the same crowd that is shouting, praise God and Hosanna to Jesus, some of them will still end up in the crowd later on, and they'll be saying what? Crucify him. And then who do you want, Jesus or what's the other guy's name? Barabbas. Barabbas was known as an insurrectionist, which means he was somebody that was known to have killed people, had murdered people. He is evil. And the people chose who? Barabbas. So we find in John chapter 1, verse 11, it says that he came to his own and his own received him not. We see it right here in this text. People did not believe, did not see that Jesus was the Son of God. Just like when it says here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 11, at the very end, it says, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Now notice they did say prophet. They did not say, printed in here, that this is the Son of God coming into our city. It does not say that here comes the King, here comes the Savior of the world, here is the Messiah. That's not spoken of, because that's really who Jesus is. So my question is, are we any better? Are we any better? We may go to church. We may sing songs about Jesus. We may praise him. We may say hallelujah. We may say Hosanna or praise the Lord. But once we leave church, what do we say? How do we live? Does it go along with what Jesus, how he lived and what he did? Or is it the opposite? The road to the cross is a difficult one. In all of this that's taking place, Jesus knows what is ahead of him. But he's going to the cross because of you and me. He voluntarily is going to lay down his life and die in our place because he loves us very much. And he loves you even tonight very much. And he's went to the cross to lay down his life for you, because there's no one else who can forgive us of our sins or give us eternal life than Jesus Christ. So that's kind of the real punch here, is why he's doing this. There's a lot more to this whole thing that goes on here that we'll be looking at in the weeks ahead. So I just want to say that here are the facts, really short and simple. The facts are Jesus fulfills Zechariah 9:9. He's the king who is riding on a donkey. The shouting of scripture takes place. All of Jerusalem heard the celebration that stirred the whole city up, what was going on this day. And the religious guys are feeling threatened and jealous. And the plot to kill Jesus and Lazarus begins right here at this particular moment. So Jesus is hated for doing good. You think of everything that he did, it's all good. And yet he has people who hate him. I don't get it. But then again, I'm a sinner too. He died for me. He died for my sin. He died for yours. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the account that we have here in the scriptures. May we think about it, maybe ponder, meditate on what we've just heard here tonight, knowing that Jesus did this for me. Lord, use it powerfully in our lives, tonight as well as in the days ahead. We praise you. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you take the your bulletin that you got here, we'll sing the other song, the last song here. It's Be Still My Soul. And go ahead, Melissa. often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in stand as we close with the Lord's Prayer. If you're able to stand, you don't have to stand if you can't stand. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you go in God's Spirit. You are dismissed. Huh? Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.